I'd like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse number 41. This, of course, is Palm Sunday. It was on this day that the Lord Jesus Christ marched into Jerusalem in triumph, and this is part of what happened on that march down into the city of Jerusalem. Luke 19, reading at verse number 41. And when he, the Lord Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just unite together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee today, and we thank thee we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice, O God, that we serve not a dead Savior, but one who is alive and alive forevermore. We ask thee, our God, that thou would close us in with thyself, that thou would take away every distracting thought brought by the devil to get our minds off the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that thou would help us to focus on the love and the mercy and the gracious nature of our blessed Lord, and grant that no soul shall leave this service today untouched by the mighty hand of God. And Lord, should there be someone here this morning that knows not the Lord, O God, as thou dost pass by, we pray that today they may call upon the name of the Lord, because thou hast told us such as do as shall be saved. So be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and give liberty in the proclamation of thy truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as I've mentioned already, is Palm Sunday. It is the day when we commemorate the so-called triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. It was about 1,990 years ago that excitement was steadily mounting in Jerusalem, because the Jews from all over were crowding into the city for the annual Passover, which would be in about 6 days. That year there was not any ordinary excitement, for it was rumored that Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, that he would attend. Now his works were becoming well known. The sick were healed by him, the lame were made to walk, and the deaf to hear, and the blind to see. And it was told also that he actually raised people from the dead. And so people were excited about the possibility of seeing this man. And they also heard that he spake the word of God with great wisdom and with great authority. Now at that time, many people thought that he was the promised Messiah, and they dared to hope. They had suffered for a long time under the aggression of the Roman army, And they wondered, would he come and claim the throne and cast off the Roman yoke of bondage? And then the anticipation increased on the Sunday morning because in Bethany, it was where he started his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And the Sabbath was now over, the restriction on travel was now taken away, and the people, they flocked out of Jerusalem, up over the Mount of Olives, over to Bethany. Hopeful, they wanted to see this one. They wanted to see Jesus Christ. But not only that, they had heard about the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted a chance to maybe see Lazarus and see was this story actually true. Now the excitement became a fever pitch as it was known that Jesus was now going to actually go into Jerusalem. And he sat on a donkey, and over here they put out the red carpet. But over there it was a green carpet of palm fronds that they put in the pathway before him. And as he began the climb up the Mount of Olives and over the top and then down into Jerusalem, as he began that climb, the people cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" And the word Hosanna is a word that means save, we beseech thee. Now Bethany lies behind the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And the main route from Bethany is they have to climb up the mountain first of all, go around the shoulder, and then down the other side into the city of Jerusalem. And when they breast the shoulder, an amazing thing happens. Now, we took a trip to Israel some years ago, and they took us by bus from Jericho, lower ground, up to Bethany, and then up to the shoulder of the Mount of Olives. And then they stopped the bus and they told us to get out. And when we got out, we were told to walk along. There's a wall. We couldn't see much because of this wall. And then once we cleared the wall, there was a sight before us that left us that none of us could speak. It was the sight of Jerusalem, the golden. It's golden because it's made mostly of limestone, which weathers to a golden color. And as we looked, you know, there's all kinds of merchants there trying to sell us stuff. But we just looked down. You could see the temple area. You could see the valley of Kidron. You could see the whole thing. And none of us could speak. It was just such an emotional moment at that time. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went up the same way, up that mountain and round the shoulder. And all of a sudden, looking down below him, he would see Jerusalem, the golden. It was then that an amazing thing happened, and it was not that the great conqueror, the mighty conqueror, would stand and shout a mighty voice of triumph, because it was the triumphant entry. But instead of a triumph, the sound of the triumph of the King of Kings, you look over, and what's happening? He's crying. He's weeping. And so this morning, I want us to try and understand the emotion that the Lord Jesus went through as he looked down upon the ancient city of Jerusalem, the golden. The first thing I want to think about is the Lord's inward grief. Because the people are all shouting Hosanna, everybody's happy. Everybody thinking he's going down to claim the throne of David and to defeat the Romans. But he's standing there, a lonely man in a crowd, and he's weeping. And which one of us, who can ever interpret or enter into the mighty flood of divine compassion that entered into the breast of the Lord Jesus at that moment as he looked down upon Jerusalem's city. It tells us in the shortest verse in the Bible, in John's Gospel, that Jesus wept. Now that's a very short verse, but my, it is full of emotion and full of teaching. But the word for weep in that case there is to quietly weep. And so the Lord, he quietly wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But the word for weep here is a different word. And it's a word that means to sob vehemently. Now, as far as I can remember, I have only sobbed once in my life. I do weep, I do shed tears. But when our minister was murdered in Seattle in 1969, at the time it was an awful trauma, and I was just emotionally as tight as a drum and never shed one tear. Until 5 days later, we went to the funeral of the minister. And I saw him lying there in the casket. And it was then that I sobbed. And that is where you sob uncontrollably. You can't control yourself. The whole chest is heaving as the multiplied sorrow piled up on my heart. I knew it was a sob. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did as he looked down over Jerusalem. It wasn't just to quietly shed a tear, but rather to sob vehemently and his whole body racked in uncontrollable emotion. Oh, the sorrow that entered into the heart of our blessed Lord and our Savior. Now it tells us there that when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now the crowd of people that were gathered there, and there's a large crowd, they majored in the present. And they were enjoying the moment of him going down the back of the donkey in this so-called triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not just looking at the present, because he was able, by his power, to look back into the past. And not only that, but he's able to look and to see the future of the city of Jerusalem. He saw Jerusalem before him, its history, and its opportunity, and its morality, and its destiny, and its eternity. And he looked down with all these thoughts going through his mind, and he wept over it. Now his emotion was not restrained by the occasion. It was a happy day for everybody else. They were all rejoicing in this mighty triumph down into the city of Jerusalem. And they were happy on that day. And it was for them a glimpse of sunshine in the gloom of the time that they were living in. But Jesus, as he looked down, he knew that the hosannas that he was hearing would soon be replaced by another cry, "Away with him! Crucify him!" And that's why we sung our opening hymn this morning, because they changed from adoration to condemnation. This was a joyous procession into the city, but soon there'd be a very sorrowful procession out of the city as the Lord Jesus would be led out to Calvary, to his death there on our behalf. And so it was a very, very emotional time. And yet, as the Lord looks down over Jerusalem, as the hymn tells us, he had no tears for his own grief, but he sweat great drops of blood for ours. So the emotion of the Lord was not restrained by the occasion. It was a mighty day, a great day. But he wept over Jerusalem. It was not restrained either by natural feelings, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he could remember all about it, because he was the builder of the people and of the city. And he could remember all the great conquests of the Old Testament. He could remember the days of Moses. He could remember the days of Joshua as the people came in and they took over the promised land. He could remember the days of King David and other mighty conquests. And so these memories would flood into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he stood looking down over the city. And then his admiration also, because he'd look over there and he could see Mount Zion, which is a picture of the church that he would shortly purchase by the shedding of his precious blood. He could look down and see just below him the temple. Remember how that he sat there talking with the mighty men of the day when he was a boy of 12, discussing the things with regard to his father's kingdom. And he could remember that. And then he could look forward and he could see no temple there, because the temple was shortly going to be destroyed by the Roman aggressors, and the people of Israel would lose their famous temple. The Lord could see that. And then also his empathy with the disciples. He had this disciple band and he loved them. And they were happy this day. But they must have been mightily surprised when they looked and saw the sadness of the heart of their friend and their Savior, as the Lord Jesus, as he wept over Jerusalem. And also, when he wept there, it reveals to us the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. He is the perfect God, and he's also perfect man. But in this case here, it was not that the divinity foresaw the destruction of Jerusalem and the humanity wept, but rather, it was the entire nature of Jesus Christ, the God-man, who poured out his emotion and it revealed his tenderness. Like a judge giving a warning to a criminal, but then having no joy in having to condemn him. And the Lord Jesus Christ giving a warning to the people, and yet having no joy in what was lying ahead, because they'd be judged, and he would be judged on the cross as he would die for the sins of his people. And the tears of the Lord Jesus Christ, they also reveal the very heart of God. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and repent. And he cries, turn ye, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And so the doom of the ungodly was no small matter to the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather he looked down and his heart was so stirred. The Bible tells us that he is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And he's looking down upon that city, and he knows what lies ahead, both for him and for the city. And so we have revealed there, in that moment as he stands, the great heart of love of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And that also should encourage us to trust him, because we cannot doubt his sincerity. Or you can get leaders who come and they can make political statements and people will give them adulation and so on. But the Lord Jesus was not making a political statement. He was there and nobody could doubt his sincerity, because he was telling us that the weeping sinner can come to a weeping Savior, and that weeping Savior will receive them, he will hear them, and he will save them. And today, my friend, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, his very tears tell us that he will listen to your cry. And the Bible says when he shall hear it, he will answer. And today you could be born again, and this would be the greatest day in your life when you pass from death unto life. And then, as we look at the Lord Jesus standing there in the abject sorrow of a broken heart, it is a rebuke to every Christian worker. We see the tears of the Lord Jesus weeping over the city. And he's moved by the plight of the lost. But my friend, let us ask ourselves, when did we last shed a tear for an unsaved loved one, an unsaved acquaintance, an unsaved friend? When did we last shed tears in the prayer meeting, praying for those that are lost that they might be saved? And so the Lord brings us this very serious question. He shows us by his example. And I do pray that the Lord would touch our hearts. Remember that to live without Christ is sad indeed. But to die without Christ is an overwhelming horror. And for us who are believers, do we really care for those round about us who know not the Lord Jesus? I want now to look at the Lord's outward lament. Because he said to them, and he wept over them, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. So now he makes this statement, and he makes this outward lament. Now the first thing we need to think about is the fault by which these people perished. If they had only known who was standing there, if they'd only understood that this is the Creator of all things, the King of kings and Lord of lords. But they didn't. And they should have, because they're a privileged nation and they were given all the Old Testament prophecies regarding the coming of the Messiah, and so many intimate details of the coming of Christ are there, and they, as religious people meeting for the Passover, they should have been aware of what the Old Testament prophecies said. They were also aware of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, for 3 years he went through their midst, and he spoke to them, and he wrought miracles in their presence, and he provided for them. And yet, on this very day, many people said, who is this? They didn't know him. And I wonder, is there somebody here today, and you've been blessed by coming to a Christian church and hearing the gospel over and over again, and people have witnessed to you, and still you're saying, who is this? Because you don't know the Lord as your Savior. How sad that is. And then you think of the peace that these people lost, because Jesus said unto them that at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace. And the name Jerusalem means possession of peace. And they were going to lose peace because the Lord is telling them that. But why should that be? And the answer is, how could they have peace when they were rejecting now the Prince of Peace? who's standing right there before them with his heart breaking and weeping tears on their behalf. And so they lost out. What peace could be theirs if they rejected the Prince of Peace? And my friend, what peace can be yours if you likewise reject the Prince of Peace? And these people who lost out, they were a privileged people because they were the nation of Israel mostly, and were told there, he says, if thou hadst known, he's talking to them personally, if thou had known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, and now they are hid from thine eyes. He's speaking to people personally. They were greatly blessed by the Lord, and by his word, and by his presence, and by his power, and yet they couldn't see. Today, none of us here are members of the 2,000 tribes of people in this world yet unreached by the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Every one of us here today has been cradled in the gospel, and so therefore we're a privileged people. And my friend today, if you know not the Lord, you don't realize the dangerous position you're in. You're rejecting the Christ of God. You're rejecting his tears. You're rejecting his sympathy. You're rejecting his salvation. You're rejecting him. And today, he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then you think also the lost opportunity of these people, because the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by right in their midst, and going right down into the city of Jerusalem. What an opportunity. And today, my friend, what an opportunity for you, because you're sitting in a Christian church and the Christian gospel has been preached to you, and you've also been singing Christian hymns. What a wonderful opportunity it is. Now, don't be like that one in the book of Acts who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, and then went out into the blackness of a lost eternity. My friend, call upon the Lord when you may. He's giving you another opportunity today. But the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because the day will come when the striving of the spirit is lost forevermore, and you likewise will be lost in a Christless eternity. Think also of the blindness of their heart. Jesus said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They couldn't see it. They're blinded. And that reminds us of what it tells us in the book of Corinthians. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You see, Paul is speaking about those who are blinded to their true state. The children of Israel that day, on that triumphant entry, were blinded to what was going to happen. They were reveling in the moment of joy as they sang praise and shouted, Hosanna! But they were blinded to what was going to happen in the future. And today, if you know not the Lord, the devil has blinded your eyes that you might not come to the Lord. And today, we do pray that the Lord would open your eyes to behold the beauty of Christ, to behold the need of Christ, and that today you too would come to trust the Lord. Now, in closing, the Lord Jesus, he saw something. He saw the ruination of the city of Jerusalem. Tragedy of tragedies that great city was shortly going to be destroyed. And people who know war, and some of us have lived through the last great war and other wars as well, we know something of the awfulness of war. I doubt if anything ever matched the Jewish war of AD 66 to 70. Josephus, the historian, has written of it. And this is what he has to say about the siege of Jerusalem 30 years after the Lord went back to glory. He said, "The Jews, unable now to leave the city, were deprived of all hope of survival. The famine became more intense and devoured whole houses and families. The roofs were covered with women and babies. The street full of old men already dead, young men and boys swollen with hunger, haunted the squares like ghosts and fell wherever the famine overcame them." And then further down, Josephus records, "And they ordered the dead to be buried at public expense, as they could not bear the stench. Later, when this proved impossible, they threw them from the walls into the valleys. When in the course of his rounds, Titus, who was the Roman governor, he looked at the stream trickling under the dead bodies, under the decomposing bodies. It says he groaned, and uplifting his hands, called God to witness that this was not his doing." Read the Holy War. Awful what happened. That's what Jesus saw. But my friend, the awful nature of the Holy